welcome to the Mission Possible radio show on bbsradio.com. I'm the guest host tonight for Reverend Roxy Hampton. We want to wish her well. She is recuperating from a back injury, as well as she is on the road in faraway lands. And do not fret. I am not alone tonight. I have my good friend and my brother in Christ, Dr. Len Horowitz, on the line with me. Dr. Horowitz, how are you this
evening? Oh, Brother Don, hi. Bless you. Thank you for inviting me on Reverend Roxy's show.
Well, it was her idea. Now, she's supposed to be with us tonight, and I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if she forgot or she's having trouble getting through or what, but we're hoping maybe before the show's over, she'll be on for an interview.
Well, that would be great. It would be nice to speak with her.
Yes. Before we begin, I think it would be appropriate, customarily, you give us a word and center this show in a spiritual vein, and I'd like you to say a prayer for the listeners and BBS Radio and all of us, especially for our country.
Well, thank you, Don. Privilege and pleasure to do that. Heavenly Creator, we praise you for your glorious blessings. Thank you for everything that you're constantly giving. Forever giving is what you do. That is your word, that is your way, that is your will, that's your blessing to humanity. And we thank you so much for receiving so much, for doing so little, really. It comes to comparing ourselves with you that we do nothing and you do everything. And so we praise you for taking our troubles from our heads and our hearts and basically making miracles manifest as a result of us having full faith and trust in your glory. We praise you for this time in history. We praise you for the challenges that it be Judgment Day for America, for the country wherein we say we got trust in God, and we bless God, we say, but, you know, I don't know if that's accurate, and I think that the Judgment Day is coming whereby your truth, your word, your way, your will, your balance, your harmony, your reality will come upon this planet and come upon this country in particular. This planet being the number one military armament, number one military might of the global beast, we'll see how far this military might extends in your kingdom of heaven. And we praise you for bringing your heaven to earth right now, especially in all the listeners in this wonderful program, Mission Possible, created by Reverend Roxy Hampton. We ask for a special blessing and anointing of healing for Reverend Roxy, and we ask for the same thing going out to all the listeners on Mission Possible this evening, because we all need healing. It is said that we are all sinners. It is said that we are all off the mark when it comes to being in line with your divinity. We wish to bless humanity, and we wish to bring to our hearts a full measure of anointing, of power, of wisdom, of truth, and of rendering justice without judgment. The clear, solid, peaceful knowing that we are in relationship with you brings. We praise you for the time in history that we are moving through this valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, knowing that you are with us, knowing that that is absolute protection, knowing that this physical realm is limited by our three senses, or our limited senses, and that this three-dimensional reality is but pales by comparison to your multidimensional reality, and that we ask for ourselves, our hearts, to open up to that total communion divine, so that the spiritual centers and sources of our sustenance be open to us, just as the keys are open, the places that which we can go that no man can close open up to the kingdom of heaven, and your divine word or your truth be blessed upon us. And that in doing so, we become all that we can be, that we fulfill the prophecy of the great Messiah Yeshua when he says that you will do more than what I have done, that may we now be anointed with your Holy Spirit flow, so that when we walk into a room, our countenance shines of your glory, and that our eyes light up, radiate with your love, your illuminated wisdom, and that when we touch people, people are felt by your presence and your touch, that your spiritual power, your energy flows through our humble, spirit-filled temples and heals people miraculously and dramatically. And then we can say, we have done more than what the Messiah has done. Praise you for your glorious blessings. Thank you for this opportunity. In Yahshua's name we praise you, and in your name we fully have trust. Amen.
Amen. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you, Dr. Len. I think it would be appropriate to, for a moment, to review the events of the past week. Last week, you and I had the honor of having John Klar on Mission Possible Radio, and he related to the listening audience the really travesty of a case involving Rick Stanley, which is putting our First and Second Amendments on the line in front of the Supreme Court. Now, they should have made some decision by last Friday, and as I understand, the decision is coming forth tomorrow, Monday, and so we pray that they made the right decision, but I think regardless of what decision they made the right one. I know that ultimately that we are going to win out in the spiritual battle that we are currently engaged in. And I can tell you that on the five shows that I did during the week, including the one that you also did Tuesday with me, I was worn out by the time we did the fifth show on Wednesday. And, of course, I was doing my show throughout the week. Plus, I did 3 hours with Jeff Rentz.
Jeff's great.
New genealogy on the Three Stooges, the current candidates. It's kind of synchronistic that Jeff came up with that name, and David Dees did a caricature on the Rents.com website, and it sat there for a couple of days. Actually, it's a fantastic piece of artwork. And where he's got the three presidential candidates dressed up like Curly, Larry, and Moe.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a delightful thing.
Yes, and unbeknownst to me, that was published, and I was already calling them the Three Stooges.
Yeah, that's great. David Dees is a brilliant artist.
Yes, yes. So I talked about that with Jeff, and I was unaware at the time when I first talked to him. Now, by the time I made it to the show, I was aware of it, but he said, "Don't stop using that name. You know, keep using it." So I had really, really a busy week, and I can tell you, on one end, I was just worn out spiritually. But there was so much love and so much prayer that came forth from the various listening audiences to all the shows. And the sport was fantastic, and I know that we're doing the right thing. I know that we're rattling this house of cards, and I know it's going to fall. Just a matter of when, and I feel it's a short time. Now, Reverend Roxy wanted to discuss a few things tonight. One thing she wanted to talk about was the stranglehold that this fascist movement has on the United States right now, and some other issues. What are your feelings right now, Dr. Horowitz, having seen what's transpired the last week and all the insanity we're hearing about on the news?
Well, actually, this past week, Don, you're going to have to fill me in. My preference is to tune out. We talked about this.
I
try not to watch the television. What comes across my desk are emails from folks like you that alert me to some of the breaking issues in the area that I focus on, which is the health front, particularly the vaccinations, the chemtrails, the toxicity, the ways that we can build our natural immunity to, you know, defend against the current and coming plagues.
Yeah.
So that's my area of focus. You know, I have not kept up since the Reverend Wright from Obama, excuse me.
Well, what does it matter?
The 40th slip. At any rate, you know, since he came out with the issue, the statement on HIV/AIDS, you know, being an Anglo-American genocidal weapon. And so you know, you're going to have to keep, you know, fill me in as to what you want me to comment on.
Okay.
You know, as far as I can see, the beast is on its way out, absolutely. And, you know, the Three Stooges are going to go through their final act until, you know, the curtain falls.
Well, on the, I'll give you just an overview. And, you know, I've been focusing on love the past week. And,
all right.
And deep prayer, deep spiritual. There's a deep spiritual movement going on, and without really applying myself to much of anything other than looking at the genealogy of these Three Stooges,
yeah,
and really coming up with some interesting facts. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit in a moment. But I sort of peripherally kept pace with what was going on in the news. I heard that the government was planning on giving everybody a chip. Now, this is the insanity. They're talking about an implant chip that will fight the bird flu. Okay? That's the type of stuff that's out there.
I wonder where they're going to implant that.
I guess probably up your nose.
Yeah. All right. I think better places to put it.
Yes, that's one item. Now,
suppository. Get your avian flu suppository.
Yes. I heard the military was on alert over a missing suitcase nuke that supposedly found its way on an airplane.
Now, well, that's a rerun of news that we got about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
Nothing new under the sun and nothing new on prime time news.
Oh, it's but the one about the bird flu really got me. I mean, it was they went into some detail. You know, it's supposed to protect you against SARS and the bird flu and my. Well, I guess it adds a whole new meaning to innuendo, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does.
Well, there was that, and then now there has been. Some new information about Hillary Clinton released. We now know that she's the distant cousin to Brad Pitt, Celine Dion, and Madonna. I find that interesting.
Now, give me this again. Hillary Clinton is related to Madonna?
She's claiming she's related to Madonna, Brad Pitt, and Celine Dion.
Are you serious? She's claiming this?
I've heard this reported. I've heard people talking about it on alternative news on the Patriot Network. They're saying it's just pure insanity.
Holy smokes.
Sixth cousin twice removed, something like that.
Well, you know, this sounds to me like we need a tabloid for the Christian Patriot, you know, Freedom Network.
Yeah.
You know, this will be front page headlines next to alien baby gives birth to 5,000-pound serpents.
Yes. Well, I mean, that is the, well, there's that, and then there's the fight that she's undergoing with Obama. Obama's suggesting, now that he's got this lead in the Democratic ticket, that she keep running, you know, keep running for office, that he doesn't have any problem with her running. And it's well known that Zbigniew Brzezinski is basically the handler of Obama. Prior to him handling him directly, his son Ian was advising him on foreign policy. And his daughter, I forget her first name, but she's the one that is the anchor for the Morning Joe show on MSNBC. I don't watch much news, but supposedly she's a staunch Obama supporter.
Yeah.
What amazes me, and, you know, I've been doing genealogical research, as I already mentioned twice now, on the three, and I'm finding that I've gone down rabbit holes that rabbits will not go down.
Yeah.
I'm finding that you cannot find birth dates or towns or solid documentation that any of these people are who they say they are or come from the families they publish that they're from. If I read biographies, for example, if I read Hillary Clinton's biography, she states that her great-grandparents are from England. And she's got sort of a British, Welsh, Irish mix. But then she says she's got North American indigenous blood and French Canadian, and she's going off in all these other directions. What I find is that most likely she has Russian blood. She may be 100% Russian, in fact. And that she was just implanted into a local family. Now, I traced both sides of the family, and I find inconsistencies. In fact, one of the people in her family may very well be Alfred Rosenberg, who was a big Nazi player. And there's a lot of intuition in the research that I did, and I came up with the city Minsk and the name Rosenberg. And it led me directly to Alfred Rosenberg. It's astounding what I found.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yes, it is.
And I tracked his movements into the country, and I can document that he was on ships, probably hundreds of cruises, not just a couple, hundreds of them. And these are with various lines. One of the lines that he was on, you know, they tried to hide his identity, and they gave him the double identity of Max Rosenberg. What I found out is that Alfred Rosenberg's protege, or I should say mentor, and the person who joined the Nazi Party with him, his first name was Max. It was really interesting. He supposedly married Della Murray, Clinton's paternal grandmother, and this was a second marriage, and I intuited that, first of all, that Hillary was born in Minsk, and that she spent maybe up to 3 years in Bermuda learning English. There is a track, there is a path, there is a record of Della Murray having been to Bermuda, and I think that the woman purported to be her grandmother may really be her mother, and the person purported to be her step-grandfather would really be her father. It's a stretch of the imagination, but when you look at the Leninist obfuscation and duplicity that they use in hiding these identities, they gave one of their own a double identity, and this guy actually became a film producer. And worse in England. Now, the ship that Rosenberg was on was owned by Kermit Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt's son.
Huh.
I found it just fascinating. The what no most people would call coincidences. And of course, I talked about this on Jeff's show over a good 2 hours on Thursday night, and a half an hour on Tuesday, and of the whole broadcast, the majority of it was on Clinton's background, and I mean, I found some startling facts. Now, what is interesting, when she claims that her relatives, her British relatives, the Rodhams, are from England, going back a couple of generations,
right?
I find that they have identities and birthplaces and birth dates here in the United States. Under those names.
Yes, I believe that.
You see, I found records in England, and I found records here. And to me, it's just an attempt, a feeble one at that, to legitimize who they are.
Yeah.
They're transplanted into these families just like the Bushes.
Right.
And my Bush research has been deemed 100% accurate. It's been confirmed, all of it, that they're really the Scherf family.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that article that you did. I would recommend that everyone read that fabulous article. What was the title of it? It was in the Idaho Observer.
It begins with Deathbed Confessions, and it's also on my website, at directlightproductions.com.
You know, is there some place, give that again, because I want people to go and read that. That's a fabulous article, very illuminating. And if you don't know what the relationship is to the Bush family, to the Nazis, you've got to read Don Nikoloff's article, folks. It really is. It's fabulous. Don, give that website again.
Yes. The easiest one, and this is the easiest read, actually, too, because I have it separated in two parts. You go to directlightproductions.com. That's my website. When you get to the homepage, open up articles. Click on the top there. You'll see articles. And immediately a page will open, and you'll see three major pieces there. Deathbed confessions, photos, support claims that George H. Scherf, Jr. was the 41st U.S. president. And there are two parts. I recommend you read part one, because that's going to give you a deeper understanding of what's in part two. Of course, read both parts. This was about a two-year research piece or project, and about 20 hours a day of research. There were days where I went two or three days straight with no sleep, just following leads and working on it. And I don't hesitate to say that there was a lot of intuition behind this, in that you're looking at a record and you know the record is not true. You just sense that there's something totally fictitious about it. So where do you go? You have to go online and you have to search and try to connect dots, and I might find a little piece. I found things as far away as New Zealand, without really going anywhere, just doing research. And I actually had to have someone even drive to pick up the document so that they could send it to me. And they drove 800 miles round trip to do that. And it just, put a nail in the coffin, so to speak, as far as confirming what my intuition told me. And it was always the same players involved. And of course, Webster Tarpley has written a lot about this, but not with the slant. Okay, he never had used another name besides Bush to describe the family. This was from the inside information that came from Otto Skorzeny.
Yeah.
And then attaching it also to Nikola Tesla and to the bankers in New York. It started fitting everything. And when I really went down the rabbit hole on the Bush family, I was convinced. You know, when you look at a census document and they're describing the servants, and they're all German.
Yeah.
The cooks and the butlers and the maids, you say to yourself, why is it that British people have a penchant for German cuisine? There's nothing spectacular about German cuisine. I spent a year and a half there in Germany, and it's pretty bland, actually. You know?
Yeah.
It's meat and potatoes, basically, and sauerkraut. And, you get bratwurst or bockwurst and pork, and it's a lot of fatty foods, and it's a lot of carbohydrates. There's not a lot of great spices in it, and, it's pretty bland.
Yeah.
Why would someone other than a German want to eat that food, you see? And I became convinced that they were German, and I even intuited the area from whence they came. And then we got photographic evidence to back that up.
Yeah.
The architecture and all of these things. So it was a very original way to do research, and I'm using the same technique right now. And I'll tell you, Hillary's background was extremely concealed in all of this, but a couple of people were very flagrant and almost egotistical, flamboyant about how they they flaunted themselves, and there is a trail. And I bet you Hillary would be surprised to find it out, because her Wikipedia biography is way off the mark on a lot of things.
Is that right?
Yeah, we readily accept what's published, especially when they use the same, same genealogist. There's one guy that's doing all of the presidential families. And I did some research on him, and he works for a research group out of Europe. He actually belongs to the European Union Research Center, and he lives in Washington, D.C. And basically, he's the spinmeister.
Well, that's what it seems like. You know, I always am careful to look at whose propaganda, you know, is being disseminated and who's the source, you know. That's what this is. Folks, I think it's important to realize that this relates to the book of Revelation also, where it says in the end times, it will be the wealthiest men of all the nations will be deceived by those who practice sorcery and cast magic spells. And that's what magic spells are. It is a hypnosis. It is television. It is media. It's the spin doctors. It's the propagandists, and in fact, when you look at the revolution in military affairs and the, quote, non-lethal warfare that's ongoing today, it's very lethal. It just kills people most profitably and slowly. Its primary function is, and requirement is, this spinning of propaganda. It's all a facade. And, you know, so long as the mind, the egoic, fear-based mentality buys into this lunacy and hypocrisy and deception, they've got control. In fact, they've got control over the population that's controlling itself. You know, that's what's really going on. I think David Icke had a wonderful metaphor for that. He said it was kind of like the population is being controlled within. All you need to have is, realize is that we're a bunch of sheep, and there's a couple guard dogs within our population.
Yes.
And they bark, and the sheep move in a certain direction.
Yes.
You know, but Don Nikoloff, you see, is a black sheep in the family. He doesn't go with that flow. But Roxy Hampton doesn't either.
Neither does Dr. Len.
That's right.
Well,
we bark back. We don't bite, but we bark.
Yeah, you know, my reason for doing this, of course, there are those who are awake to the fact that there's something wrong. And then there are those that are on the verge of awakening to a higher consciousness that really haven't put their finger on exactly what it is that's wrong. And you know, we're voting for personalities right now. We're voting for image. And then we're voting under the assumption that our vote is actually even counted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really redundant to say that we have to know who we're voting for, because we're not voting for anybody. They're just manipulating the vote.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But it should at least awaken, this type of information should awaken those that have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, to the fact that it doesn't matter what they say or who's saying it, it's the same plan being carried out.
Yeah.
The Madrid Circular in the early 1950s that they found describing the intent to take over the United States and turn it into a fascist government after the war, and the saying was, "Für uns, die Krieg ist niemals vorbei," which is, for us, the war has never been over. And
yeah, it never was over. And in fact, you know, the wonderful book by Paul Manning called Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile.
Yes.
That was totally amazing how he revealed that the number one money manager for the Third Reich, Martin Bormann, not only escaped with his life, but the money was all, you know, directed through the rat lines, through the Bush, Brown Harriman controlled banks, that the Bush family was sitting on,
mm-hmm.
and that the purpose of all of the money, the entire Nazi war chest, was primarily invested into the progeny of the IG Farben cartel. That is the Bayer Corporation, BASF, Hoax Corporation. Of course, the Merck was heavily engaged therein. The German corporations, everything from Mercedes to the there's dozens of them, but they're the primary players.
Yeah, the Krupp family was very big too.
Right.
IG Farben and Krupp were the secret financiers.
Exactly.
You know.
And the funding was for the, quote, New Ordnung.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the New Order.
Yeah.
It was for the rise, literally, this was a quote, rise of the Fourth Reich.
Yes.
Which is now, which is the Bush administration. This is where it's all gone. All that money made so many trillions of dollars more. And of course, with the manipulations, I mean, if one of their, like an Enron, goes down, essentially they don't lose anything. You know, they've got insurance, they've got all sorts of scams that they can basically escape from the bankruptcy. But the reality is that the mission was that they would create the new Ordnung, the new world order, for specifically the empowerment and global control by the Fourth Reich, for, you know, this whole concept of there being now this Anglo-American genocidal operation with global control,
mm-hmm.
that really is racist at its core. It's fundamentally racist. You know, the concept that you've got a black candidate today and you've had black officials and Surgeon General, for example, David Satcher, the Surgeon Genocide, these people are absolutely turning a blind eye to the genocide affecting the black people on the planet. The African nation, the African continent, and then the African Americans included. So this is part and parcel of the Fourth Reich. And so that's what we're dealing with. Nothing short of that, nothing less than that. And I think people need to be aware that that's the case.
Yes. Well, I've been sounding the alarm about the economy and what's going on in the banking industry for a good year and a half, maybe a little bit more. And it's basically just a series of Ponzi schemes that they're running in the derivatives and the hedge fund markets. Now, the reason why all of these funds are failing, number one, is because there's no actual collateral behind these accounts. And number two, all the money, all the proceeds are being put into offshore accounts around the world.
Right.
Secret accounts. So basically, you have them taking investment capital from otherwise honest investors who are promised anywhere from a 400% to 500% return in a matter of months, which is very unrealistic. It was the same thing that Charles Ponzi did in the early 1920s. And he did it not once, but at least three times.
Explain that, Don, so that the listeners can really get a grasp of that.
Well,
how'd that run?
Yeah, the Ponzi scheme that Charles Ponzi ran basically was on what they called postal coupons. Let's say you had someone in Europe that couldn't afford stamps. You could buy a book of these postal coupons, and then you could, they had a value because those people in Europe wanted stamps. So what he promised was that people who invested into owning the stamps would make a high return on them, because by the time the exchange rate took place, there was a profit to be made. And the thing was, he was the only one making the profit. He would pay returns to people by taking the new money he brought in to the pool. Never did he actually pay out of profits, because there really were no profits occurring, if you get my drift. In other words, he was saying that the exchange rate would bring the money, but he was not showing any profit to anyone who invested. And so, you know, it's sort of like kiting a check or paying off one credit card bill with another credit card. He was doing that with the investment capital that came in. He became a millionaire from this, and yet all the people who had invested in these stamps, save the first group or the first couple of groups that got paid, lost their money. And he was investigated and arrested and did some jail time. This occurred in the Boston area initially. And then when he got out of jail, he did the same thing down in Florida, only he came up with another scheme. He actually founded what has become the SEC. Okay. He used the same letters, the SEC. But he had a somewhat different name for it. But it was supposed to be a secure exchange. And so Charles Ponzi, who was he was actually discovered by a journalist who was really analyzing what it was he was doing, because he was becoming famous from this. He would buy these big allotments of these postal coupons, and people were, you know, intending to send them to people in Europe and other countries where they wanted their loved ones to be able to communicate with them. And it's at the point where the exchange rate takes place that there's a profit in the actual investment. But those investors never saw it. He kept it, and the complaints became so great and numerous that journalists started investigating, and it was a pretty shrewd journalist that actually analyzed it. He had the banks fooled, and he was making claims that there were hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of these coupon books out there in the market, when the post office themselves said there were no more than 65,000 of these. So it's a similar example to what's going on today. The thing is, they're making the money out of thin air. And when these banks and these investment firms fail, what do? They create more money out of thin air. They assess it to the taxpayers. We're responsible for paying this. They're not. It's the way they create everything, that they give up a little piece of what we own as a nation, and they've probably given everything away by now. So it's really a tragedy. And it's really something that they have to reckon with someday. These are contracts that they made unbeknownst to us. And just like the Deutsche Bank foreclosures that occurred in Cleveland, where people were not made aware that Deutsche Bank had contracts and were about to foreclose on them, throwing several thousand people out of their homes, it's illegal. And if we are not party to a contract, we shouldn't have to live up to it. That's what fascism is all about, is doing all these things behind our back. And it's a sin that this has been going on for, you know, at least 100 years, probably longer.
Yep.
So I don't know if I made myself clear on the Charles Ponzi thing, but that's what a Ponzi scheme is, basically. You know, it's sort of like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, it's a shame that that's what's going on today. You know, I know that there's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. It's all an offshore corporation.
Yes.
And the District of Columbia is a corporation, and the corporation invests offshore. So it's not really about America. You know, it's about how to make as much money in the globalization scheme as possible.
Well, yeah, it leaves us all really with one option. And when you look at the whole world, every sovereign being on this planet is in the same boat. And it's whether or not we are going to assert our sovereignty or allow them to declare what our reality is going to be. And I don't recall ever having given up my sovereignty consciously.
You know, it's an absurdity to even consider that. You know, you'd have to completely shut yourself off to the spiritual nature of reality. You know, that's what's so interesting about this alien mentality that's in the global industrialist, the whole cartel, being as offensive and as destructive as they are to every part of life, that this is so foreign to what our basic human values are, love and empathy and compassion, that if it's a focus on profiteering that they're making, and that the concept involves, you know, winning at the end is how much money and real estate and possessions can you control when you depart? One has to consider the reason for this, the rationale for this, the motivation for this, because it's foreign to what we consider a terrestrial human species. You know, so it's alien.
Yes.
And to that extent, it challenges this whole concept of godliness and spirituality. Because when I die, when you die, what's going to be the value of holding a possession at all?
That's common sense right there to ask that question.
And then, okay, so say you still want to leave it to your children and your children's children to give them a blessing. You know, the reality is, the truth of the matter is that the physical possessions are a responsibility, and they require a managerial, you know, a commitment, and that you have a lot of work to do in managing, even if it's offshore accounts and it's offshore corporations and it's trusts and it's this and it's that. It takes one away from what's real about this loving life. That is family, that is love, that is simple beingness, that is in communion with not only nature, but the Creator, as well as each other, so that the reality becomes, okay, what are these people after?
I you're hitting the point right on the head. I often ask people, okay, there's a group of people who are known as industrialists or multi-corporations, the military-industrial complex, call them what you will, cartels of all types, whether it's oil, drugs, food, whatever. If these cartels could eventually just reduce themselves down to one person, and one person owned all the wealth of the planet, was able to completely control everyone to the extent that he could exterminate everyone, and he had all the wealth in the world to himself. He was the last person on the planet, in other words. What would be the value of what he owned? What would that wealth represent?
Nothing.
Nothing. It would be an illusion, right?
That's right, because there's nobody else to basically play with it, and to, you know, basically that's what standard economics is all about. It's supply and demand. If there's nobody else out there demanding and or supplying, and you own a monopoly on it all, and it's all under your control, you know, what the heck, you know, what have you created?
Well, it's well, in its grandiose finality, it's an illusion.
It's
isn't
sick.
It's an absolute illusion now.
Insanity is what it amounts to.
Yes, it's an illusion now, and that's basically what I'm trying to wake people up to, is that this is just representative of the game that they want us to play.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for us to create our own game.
Yeah, absolutely, which is, you know, don't play their game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know where that's the ultimate conclusion that their game could gravitate towards is that one person owns the whole Monopoly table, and the game is over.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh just now, and it's easy to say don't play their game and create a new game, but you know, it's so sick and sad that as our culture has evolved, we've integrated as part of our way of living their utilities, their gasoline, their, you know, automobiles, you know, and it's kind of like, gee whiz, it really requires us to go fully back to permacultural reality and communing with nature in a highest level. Otherwise, you know, we're really still playing their game.
Yes, absolutely. And really, the scenarios that they set up in regard to the energy supply, they're all hoaxes. Everything has been a hoax, perpetrated with the intent to just squeeze every last cent out of our pockets, and then create a slave society that has to bow down to what? To oppression, or to satanic worship, or
the semblance of democracy and freedom.
Yes.
You know, this facade.
Yes.
You know, this illusion. And, you know, it's interesting that as more and more small business people that I work with, they have zero, literally, I mean, they're not making it in America anymore. They're losing it. And they're losing it to all of the taxes. You're taxed on everything. And that's the major part of the economic enslavement that filters down into enslaving you as a human being, stealing from you the values such as time that you can take with your children and your family that's really valuable. That's what's sick and sad about the enslavement.
Yeah.
Is that the true values that we hold dear to our hearts are, as loving human beings, are violated and repressed and stolen.
Well, this matrix is supported by fear, and it's ultimately the fear because of the lack of understanding, really, the lack of the knowledge about how this really works and what it really is. People fear itself to the extent that they become paralyzed, in a sense.
You know, way back in 1977, when I graduated Tufts School of Dental Medicine, we had a yearbook, and part of the theme of the yearbook, I remember Dr. Howard Sorkin, he's a friend of mine, we graduated together, where he still practices in New Jersey, and that he came up with this kind of like motto, that fear dissolves in trust. And, of course, he was talking about dentists and patients, you know, their fear of dental anxiety being allayed by a caring doctor with whom you hold trust.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looking at this whole spiritual issue that we're all facing, literally the trust in the Creator, giving it all to the Source. If you've got a problem, it's not your problem. If you're a humble servant, totally committed to serving the Creator with a full measure of faith and trust in the Creator, it's not your problem, any problem, including any fear.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got depression, you've got emotional imbalance and instability or anger, you've got to give it to the boss. It's his problem. And you know what? The boss is so capable of dealing with it, and instantly begins to deal with it, and ultimately, you know, it's a matter of how open your heart is to receive what the boss is rendering insofar as a remedy.
Yes, and listening, you know, hearing that message, and that's a message that's I feel is heard in the heart, not in the mind.
That's right. It certainly is.
It's centered in the heart, and that communication takes place in the heart.
Yeah. You know, the best thing that we can do with our heads is give it a mantra, such as, Heavenly Creator, we give you total faith and trust. I give you complete, total power over everything that unfolds in my life, which you already have, and I praise you, and I celebrate the manner in which you are ordering my steps as you're righteous, because ultimately my mind is not only deceived, but literally limited to the extent that I am not capable of seeing the future like you see it, not capable of bringing to me, attracting to me the perfect resources, all the people and the finances and the wherewithal to do your humble service as the greatest that I can possibly do it. You have that power, Heavenly Creator. And so that's kind of like my mantra. You know, as I'm dealing with all of the garbage that comes across my desk in my life, I just keep giving it to the boss because the boss has got it handled.
Yes, amen. And that's the way it is. You trust, you open up your heart, and then you listen. And keep on listening. If you don't hear the message the first time around, maybe it's because you still got your mind working and you're expecting something the way you think it should happen.
Right.
You know, he speaks to you when, you know, in a creative musical moment, I can tell you that God speaks to me and I create the sound. I'm interpreting the language into sound. And there's no thought going on. The thought occurs afterwards, and usually I'm awestruck.
Yeah, you know, that's what I like about speaking in tongues. You know, I get a lot of grief. A lot of spirit-filled Christians get a lot of grief from those who don't have the ears to hear speaking in tongues.
Yes.
But when you really look at it from what you're talking about, Don, that's what speaking in tongues is all about. It's an emanation of a vibration that has a significant intelligence and direction in it from not your mind. It doesn't come from your mind. It comes from this place that's a spiritual place through your heart, and it has a subliminal meaning, and it has a potential for healing. That's what I like about, you know, speaking in tongues, and that's what I like about what Paul in Corinthians talks about when he says, I would like to, that all sounds are important, that if you don't understand the meaning of the sounds, then essentially it's a great challenge for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives the example, if you don't know, for example, that the military trumpet is alerting you to a battle that's about to take place, you know, you're at great risk. But so the meaning of sound and the essence of sound, of what you're talking about, letting that sound flow through your heart and have this intuitive sense that it is of divine perfection, resonating eternally to bless humanity, that's available to us.
You know, there's an aspect, and I contemplate this all the time, especially since I got into considering healing music and let's say being an empath for healing music. And that is that just like our actions, our deeds, our thoughts, our words affect the universe, so does the music that we create. In fact, I hear the music, and the music flows through me, and I put it back out into the universe.
Yeah, well, that's the concept of Revelation 14, 1 through 6 of hosting the concert for the 144,000, live h2o.org. The concept is that, yes, indeed, we as a people have got to take responsibility. We have the ability to respond to the understanding and revelation now where we see that the water is the superconductor creative juice. And if we articulate the sounds into the waters of the planet to resonate the universe and essentially entrain our earthly vibration to that of nature of God, ultimately that is going to bring us into a resonance that's pure and it's peaceful and it's optimally healthy.
So and loving.
Yeah, and totally loving, because that's the essence. That's the 528
yes.
frequency at the core of it all.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, we could go on and on and on with this. We've run out of time here, I guess, but it's been remarkable. You see how we started with fascism and we moved to love.
Isn't that
amazing? So,
like the truth always has a way to bubble up to the top, and so does love, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, we were unable to get the boss, RJ, in on the call.
Well, I didn't expect her. You know, being in Thailand, I imagine it would be a challenge for her perhaps to get in. But I think we've got two more shows for covering her, for her, right?
Yes.
Well, that's all right.
Maybe we can get her on next week. I'll see if we can get a number or something that we can make the hookup.
All right. Well, I want to thank Don Newsom and the BBS family for supporting this. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Seth.
And I want to thank Reverend Roxy for having us, having the trust to allow us to watch the house while she's away.
Absolutely.
And we want to wish her the best rapid healing and also a great time. And hopefully she's going to come back renewed and reinvigorated and ready to go to battle. So.
I look forward to speaking with you, Don.
Okay, same here. And if we don't speak before next week, we'll see each other next Sunday, same time, same place.
Sounds good.
Mission Possible.
Thank
you,
folks.
Very much, Dr. Lynn.
People, have a wonderful week.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And folks, thank you very much. You've been listening to Mission Possible Radio on BBS Radio. I'm Don Nikoloff, and my co-host this evening was Dr. Lynn Horowitz. And we wish Reverend Roxy Hampton the best. We miss you, Rev, and we wish you a safe trip back. We've got two more shows under our belt to go, and we're going to nail them for you. So hopefully we'll have you on next week. Greetings to everyone in Hawaii. Aloha, and everyone have a good night. Bye now.